Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, on this lovely Mitzvah Shabbos is daf Chof Chet, and we were up to the two dots about a third of the way down. Okay, so we got up to the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about what you can do with chometz. So is chometz something that has to be burned, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or is it something that you can do whatever you want, like the Chachamim say, you could just, crumble it up, put it into the wind. So now the question is, the two options that were given by the Chachamim in the Mishnah are not very clear, because it doesn't clarify whether the Mefarer, the fact that I need to crumble up the chometz, is what I need to do first before I either throw it into the sky or into the air, in other words, or I throw it into the sea. That's not clear. So what does the Mishnah mean? Does it mean that you first crumble it up and then you scatter it to the winds, or does it mean you, and your alternative is you crumble it also and you throw it into the sea? Or maybe these are actually two different things. One is you have to crumble it because you're scattering it into the air. But if you throw it into the sea, then you don't have to be mefarer. So maybe the mefarer is going only on the first thing. And we have actually the same question in the Mishnah, Legabe Avodah Zarah. We're over there. We also have the same ambiguity. Whereas over there, Rabbi Yossi says, when you have an idol, so grind up the idol. And we're assuming we're talking about an idol over here that can be ground, metal, wood. So you grind it up. Actually, if you get wood, you can burn. But the metal, what are you going to do with it? It says over there, so you grind it up and again, scatter it to the winds or throw it into the sea. And over there, we had the same question. Did he mean that the grinding up comes before both of the alternatives or only before the first alternative? So does he mean that you have to be shochek v'zor l'ruach and or shochek u'matir l'yam? Or perhaps he means you have to be shochek and zor l'ruach or just be matir l'yam while it's still whole, because when you're throwing it into the yam, so fine, then already it's going to destroy the metal as well. Oh, my rabbi, look, I mean, I would say that the two are not necessarily the same, even though the format of the mission is the same, because, if you're talking about Avodah Zarah, and, assuming that the Avodah Zarah is a continuation of the issues in the mission over there where it talked about the Olechando, the Yamamelach, and so on, so that would be Lechora, the continuation about the Yama Melach. If you're referring to the Yama Melach, well, you don't have to grind it up because, there's no real worry that somebody's going to, go skin diving in the Yama Melach or take a pleasure boat into the Yama Melach. And because of that, it's fine. Nobody's going to find it. And ultimately, it's just going to get rusted and disappear. Masha'in Kein Chometz, where there's never mentioned the Yama Melech particularly. So over there, it's going to normal rivers. So there you should really, even if you're throwing it into the Yam, you should have to grind it up before you put it in, because somebody may find it and then they'll come to eat it. That's probably the simple understanding. Rav Yosef said, look, I would say exactly the opposite. I would say that we shouldn't focus on the rivers. We should focus on the materials. If you're talking about, say, Ibcha Mistav, you're talking about Avodah Zarah. So we're talking about over there an idol that's made out of metal. That's not going to disappear very quickly. It doesn't dissolve, does it? So over there, Boy Shechika. Over there, he means that you need to do Shechika, whether you're throwing it into the air or whether you're throwing it to the sea. Masha'ink and Chometz. Come on. The moment he gets it to water, it's just going to basically dissolve in the water. So over there, why would I need to be Mefarer before throwing it into the Yam? It's interesting that we have two brises, one of which seems to be like Rabbah, and one of them seems to be like Rav Yosef, because there's a brisa that says like both. Because here a guy's nowhere near any kind of water. He's walking in the midbar. All he can do is throw it into the air. So he scatters it to the wind, so to speak. So, okay, then he has to crumble it. If he's going in a boat, he's going in a boat, it says he has to be mefarer u'matir l'yam. So he still has to actually take his chometz and first crumble it. So that basically seems to fit what Rava is saying, even if I'm throwing it into the sea. So Rava said, you got to worry about that, because, I mean, when somebody picks it up, Ashenkin, you don't have to worry about that by the case of the Avodah Zorah. Whereas Tainikov said of Yosef, that Hoya Mahalach Bamidbar, here we're talking about an Avodah Zorah. Somebody's walking in the Midbar. He has to grind up the Avodah Zorah if he's throwing it into the Yam. But if he's traveling in a boat, so then he has to grind it and throw it into the Yam. So you see that he does have to, just like Rabbi Yosef says, you even have to take the metal that you're throwing into the Yam and you have to grind it up. So it seems on the surface that the Braisa that insists you have to grind it up even before, we're talking about an Avodah Zorah, even before you throw it into the Yam, would be a kasha according to Rabba, because I'm assuming that it's also referring to the Yam HaMelech. I mean, it doesn't say so, but it's a continuation of the Inyanim in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah was referring to the Yam HaMelech, in which case it's a problem, because Rabba said you don't have to do that in the Yam HaMelech, whereas Pirur would be a problem on Libet Rabbi Yosef, because that's talking about Chometz, and Rabbi Yosef says Chometz you don't have to worry about, and obviously there's really no problem over here. The Shechikah of Rabba is not a problem, because look, I mean, if you look carefully, what's it saying? It's saying, or if you were in a boat. I mean, what do you mean in a boat? People don't travel in a boat in the Yam HaMelech. So undoubtedly, there's two completely different things. The mission of Avodah Zorah that Rabba was talking about was referring to the Yam HaMelech, but that's why it doesn't talk a boat. And over here, the Braisa that was going on Libet Rabbi Yosef is talking about a boat, and therefore it's probably not talking about the Yam HaMelech. It's talking about other Yamim. And Rabba's Svara was only Benogea the Yam HaMelech. So over there, Rabba would of course agree. Why is it different than Chometz? Somebody's going to find it and they'll come to use it. And as far as the other question is concerned, the Pirur. So that Pirur is also not a problem because, I mean, it certainly depends what you're talking about. The Braisa is talking about where you're trying to get rid of a bunch of wheat and that wheat is in a sack. So over there, it's not going to dissolve in the water. It's not, so wheat doesn't dissolve. So what it must mean over here is when you say you crumble it up, it doesn't mean literally you can't crumble up wheat. But what you can do is you can dump it out of the sack, which achieves the same thing. Basically, single wheat kernels are going to fall, and nobody's going to be able to use any of the single wheat kernels. And in the end, it's just going to disappear. Whereas in our Mishnah, we're talking about somebody who wants to get rid of an actual piece of nahama, of lechem, and there, Tainted Reb Yosef, okay, so what's the point? You're pouring it into water. It's just, why do you need to crumble it? It's just going to dissolve in the water. Okay, and now it's time for our favorite Capitan. I think we've got something very special for our Capitan, which we're going to have to get this to him. But look, you know, yeah, and look, basically, you know, I'd rather be rowing. We want to make sure that you're always aware of that. Yeah. So our cap, there you go. So our copy.
Robots, I haven't seen much around.
So here we've got a summary of all of the different issues. We're going to end up at the Gemara going through all of the different shitot about the various isurim that are nogea, the inyanim of chametz. So look, we know we have three different periods that we have to worry about. We've got the periods, I'm not talking about the Rabbanan, I'm talking about the Deraisa. In the Rabbanan, of course, we've got five different periods, if we include Rabban Gamliel. But just sticking with the Deraisa, we're going to have to decide what the din is of Chometz from the seventh hour. Is that a lav, or is that really only a Rabbanan? We have to decide what's the din of Chometz she'over alav ha-Pesach. Is that a lav or is that the Rabbanan? And then we have to decide what the halacha is of Chometz in the middle of Pesach. Is it Asur Bahana'ah or is it not Asur Bahana'ah? Furthermore, we have to decide what is the din in terms of the onesh of Kores. Even if there is a lav, is there an onesh Kores before and after if you hold that it's Asur? Or are the dinim of Kores limited by definition, to B'toich Pesach, and then if there are Isurim, they are Isurei Achila, perhaps Isurei Anah. That's what we got to take a look. So the Mishnah, as usual, says something extremely confusing, and it's going to force us to try to figure out the various permutations, how we could make the Mishnah make sense, which it does not on the surface. And thereby, we're going to end up checking out every possible different sugya, in the sugya of Chametz Pesach, or before Pesach, or after Pesach. So we have graduated, since we finished our discussion about the dinim of the Darabonan on Erev Pesach, about the dinim of Biur, and about the interrelationship of Yisuri Hana and Yisuri Achila. And now we want to find out what the lavim are when it comes to the dinim of Chametz at the different periods, midioraisa, as we've already finished our discussion of the pre-Pesach Darabonans, and that is going to lead us to something even more exciting, which is what is the din of a ta'aroves, where we've got a chometz that falls into something else. Is that the same din during Yontav? Is it the same din as it is after or before Yontav? Are there different halachas? Is there a different chumrah once there's an iser kares? Is there a different chumrah once there's an iser, which is of hana? All of this we're going to look at now in the next day or two. So first of all, our Halakha Mishnah begins with chometz shel nochri shavar alav ha-pesach. So a goy owned chometz, and now he's selling it right after Pesach. You want to go into a pub, and the BBs are again having their video games, or else it's Sesame Street, and I'm not sure which it is, but whatever it is, we need attention. So I don't know, unless you're having this much fun, you know, with the Daf Yomi, but somehow or other, I'm very suspicious. Okay, but we love your smiles, so whatever it is, keep it up. So over here, the Nochri has chametz. He's selling. You want to go into a pub, Metzoy Yontev, and get yourself some beer at a Goyesha pub. Now, that's chometz over of a Pesach, right? Because it was there all Pesach long. Is that mutter after Pesach? I just want you to know my shver used to go in. He used to walk in with his full Rosh Hashiva garb, you know, with the big hat and the long black coat. And every Metzoy Pesach, he would go into a local pub with a bunch of Polish players that were over there in Ohio where he lived, because he held that it's a better havdalah to utilize beer, because after all, it's something that you couldn't have had during Yontav, and now you can have it after Yontav, so he's going to make havdalah on beer. I mean, the scene when he would walk into this pub and walk up and order a beer, is like, oh my gosh. But anyway, he didn't care, and he would do this every year. So the chometz over alav ha-pesach is actually mutter ba'ana if it belonged to a goy, but if it belonged to a Yisrael, then it's osir ba'ana. And now the Mishnah provides the craziest reason, because it says lo yera'eh lecha se'or. Huh? Okay, so we're going to have to try to make sense of this Mishnah. And our first question is, we know of three different shitot about the various lavim and the zmanim of these isurim, and the Mishnah does not go according to any of these three shitot. So who in the world is the Mishnah going according to? And here's our three shitot. It doesn't work like Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't work like Rabbi Shimon, and it doesn't work according to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Okay, this is obviously introducing a fun machlokas. May he tell us all about that machlokas, the Tanya. Chametz ben lifnei zmano ben la'achar zmano over alav belav. So this is Reb Yehuda Shita. Reb Yehuda says that before Pesach, it's Erev Pesach, or it's the week after Pesach. It doesn't matter. Having the chametz, and he doesn't define the chametz as being any different. It belongs to a goy or it belongs to a Jew. Any chametz that has been extant during Pesach, he says over here, there's an iser lav to eat it and to be nene from it after Pesach. The difference is that toch zmano, you're not only over on a lav, you're also chayav karet. You're not chayav karet on Erev Pesach, and you're not chayav karet on chometz that was extant during Pesach, where now it's after Pesach. That is Rabbi Yehuda, and you can immediately see why the Mishnah doesn't seem to add up according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah makes a distinction that he doesn't mention. I mean, where in the world would we get the idea that there's a difference in this lav of achilas chometz after Pesach if it belonged to a goy during Pesach or a Jew during Pesach? I mean, there's no indication, at least none that we know of yet. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't seem to be the solution to whom the Mishnah is going according to. Let's take a look at Rabbi Shimon, the second Shita. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, this is absolutely not true. There is no Isser of Chametz before Pesach, Midiraisa, obviously, Midirabbanon there is, and there is no Isser whatsoever, Midiraisa, after Pesach. Again, I mean, we're talking about Diraisa, and there's nothing, no lav, certainly no chorus. So Chametz lifnei zmano, la'achar zmano, eno over alav below klum. However, I mean, when it's during Pesach, then not only is it a lav, it's also a chiyuv karet. So, but he agrees that there's an iser hana'ah, just like Rabbi Yehuda takes for granted. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, where are you guys coming from? Oh, wait, I skipped a little piece here. Umisha asha asur ba'achila, asur ba'hana'ah. The moment that it becomes asur ba'achila midiraisa, that is the moment that it becomes Osir Bahana Diaraisa. Now that is said according to the Tanakhama, meaning according to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, you should know, I who hold that there is an Isser of Achila on Erev Pesach, I want you to know that it's also Osir Bahana. There's no distinction between Achila and Hana. The only distinction is between the Chi of Karet and the Stam Isser Lav, which is on the before and after periods. But as far as the type of Isser we're talking about, the Isra Anah kicks in immediately. Again, we're talking about the Diaraisa. We're not talking about the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Erev Pesach, the Rabbanan, the shows to Rabbanan. That's not the point here. We're talking about Diaraisa. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, I don't know, both of you guys are from Mars. I mean, Tamei Alatzva, where do you get this from? Why in the world are you making this assumption that there is an Isra Anah on Chometz? I have no idea where that comes from. Hei Chometz Asur Ba'anah Akol Shiva, where do you get this idea from? Uminayin. So we talked about Rabbi Yossi Aglili before, just in passing, but here we finally get up to his actual shita in the Braisa. So now, says Rabbi Yehuda, look, I mean, let me explain to you how I know my din. But already it's clear that the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Shimon, and it certainly can't be Rabbi Yossi either. Because Rabbi Shimon says there is no Isser L'Achar Zmano, and the Mishnah says there is an Isser, at least if it belongs to a Yisrael. And Rabbi Yehuda Aglili says even during Yantav it's not Isser B'Anah, so he's certainly not going to be the mocker of our Mishnah. So how do we have a Mishnah that's not going like anyone? So now let's take a look at the basis of these Shitas. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I mean, the Pasuk says very clearly that there are these different Isuri. And you cannot get away with saying that there's no Isur Chometz on Erev Pesach, because it says so beferish in the Torah, for heaven's sakes. It says, Lo tochal olav chametz, shivat yamim, tochal olav matzot, lechemoni, ki bechiposoni atzata min Mitzrayim. So, the Lo tochal olav chametz is referring to what? Over there in the Pasuk, it's talking about the Korban Pesach. You're supposed to bring your Korban Pesach. Do not eat chametz with that korban. So what are you telling me there's no Isser of chametz on Erev Pesach? It's a ferish of pasuk. So that's my first taina, and this is my first pasuk. So certainly there would be that Isser. So that would be b'sheh sha'ot l'malah, because that's the time of the Shkitas HaPesach that the pasuk is referring to, right? Amalo Rabbi Shimon, what? Can you read the pasuk or not? The Pasuk says beferish. V'chiev shalom, Mark, I don't understand. Alok var nemar, lo tochal alav chametz. Look at the rest of the Pasuk. Shivat yamim tochal alav matzot. Now, certainly you're not telling me the Pasuk means to eat matzos with your Korban Pesach for 7 days. There's no Korban Pesach for 7 days. So how can you learn that the tochal alav at the beginning is a reference to the Korban Pesach, which you're not allowed to eat chametz, if anything? The whole point of the Pasuk is to tell you the opposite. The connection of the beginning of the Pasuk to Lo Tochal Alav Chametz, why mention that together with Shivas Yomim Tochal Alav Matzot? That's the point. It's to tell me, pay no attention to Rabbi Yehuda. It's to tell me that B'Sha'ash Yeshno B'Kumecho Matzah Yeshno B'Bal Tochal Chametz. The only time that you need to worry about not eating chametz is where there is a mitzvah that you do need to eat matzah. But if there is no issue of matzah, Surely, Rabbi Yehuda, you do not believe that you're supposed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, right? So then the Pasuk is saying that the Isser of Chametz is linked to the time of eating matzah. So then the Pasuk is saying exactly the opposite of what you claim it's saying. It's all very nice to quote just the beginning of the Pasuk, but the rest of us around here have read the Bible and you're fooling none of us. So if anything, the Pasuk is saying the opposite. So there is no possible way to read that Pasuk. So what is Rabbi Yehuda actually thinking? So let's take a look first at Rabbi Yehuda's basic approach. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, we definitely have three psukim that are asering achilas chametz, okay? So one was the pasuk that we spoke about all the way through the sugya, and v'lo ye'achel chametz. That's zachorat hayom hazeh asher yatzata b'mitzrayim. That was our pasuk, which according to Hananiah meant lo ye'achel. That was the basis of the Isuri Hanah and so on. But we also have a pasuk of kol machmetzet lo tochlu bechol moshvotechem tochal matzot. And then we have also the third pasuk, which I quoted to you, lo tochal alav chametz. Okay, take those three psukim. Obviously, the lo tochal alav chametz, as I pointed out to you earlier, we'll ask later how does he answer Reb Shimon's objection, but as I pointed out to you earlier, is referring to Erev Pesach. So that one is lifnei zmano. One of them is talking about le'achar zmano, because we have two additional psukim, and one of them is talking about toch zmano. So where it says, beferish yom tiskard yom tzitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim, that is lo ye'achel chametz, that's fine. So then what do we do with the Chol Machmetzet, Lotochelu? That's got to be even afterwards. Okay, three psukim. So I think that fairly well says my position. Three different dinim, one before, one during, and one after. So what does Rabbi Shimon do with these three psukim? So Rabbi Shimon says, look, one of these psukim, yes, is definitely Chometz, Toch Zmano, Lo Yechel Chometz. This extra pasuk that you claim has got to be referring to after Pesach is nothing of the sort. Kol machmetzet, note the difference, right? I mean, how come it's lo yachel chametz, and then all of a sudden we've got a different formulation of machmetzet? Why did we change to machmetzet from chametz? I'll tell you why. Because there are certainly grounds to assume that when the Torah talks about chametz, it's talking about that process that generally takes place as a spontaneous growth of yeast cells in grain that has been left out, and now it starts to ferment, right? Now, suppose you cause this to happen artificially. So you chemically accelerate. This is a machlokas rishonim, whether we're talking about chemical acceleration or adding yeast directly. But the point is, it's no longer a natural process. Did the Torah include that or not? I say that's the whole point of the change in the language. Machmetzet means that which has been forced into a state of chimutz, as opposed to chometz, which is a natural product. So, I mean, that's like when we talk about leavening agents. Those are machmetzets. And this is something else. So I need that pasuk, but I can't use that pasuk to tell me what you claim, Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a new lav. It's just amplifying what the meaning of chametz is, but during Pesach. So Talmud lomar kol machmetzet lo tochelu. Now, the other question of lo ye'achel chametz, which according to you is the fundamental pasuk, I disagree. As I showed you, the fundamental pasuk is lo tochal alav chametz shivat yamim, and tochal alav matzot. That's where it says toch zmano, very clearly. Okay, I'll tell you what I do with that extra pasuk of lo yachel chametz. I say it's coming to tell me a din that Rabbi Yossi Aglili pointed out. Don't confuse this with Rabbi Yossi Aglili's shita that we had a moment ago about Isser Hanah. It's not directly related to that, although it's somewhat related, but as in terms of the outcome, it's not related. So what Rabbi Yossi Aglili said is that Pesach Mitzrayim, the only din that the Bnei Yisrael were told in Mitzrayim is that they're not allowed to eat chametz for one day. And that is learnt out from that pasuk. How do we know that? Minayin lepesach b'tzrayim she'in chimutzo noheg ela yom echad. Talmud lomar, lo ye'achel chametz. And guess what the very next thing that we have next to that pasuk is? The next word, hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv. So put together the lo ye'achel, ve lo ye'achel chametz hayom atem yotzim. And what do you get? One day for Pesach Mitzrayim, and that obviously would have no application to the Din of Chametz now. So, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is misusing the pasuk. It has no meaning for Bizman HaZeh. Okay, so now we're going to have to understand where Rabbi Yehuda derives these two dinim. Okay, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that Chametz that was artificially made into Chametz, or was catalyzed into chametz, that is also included? Machmat avaracher. So how does he know that? Says Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean, how do I know it? Not the same way you know it. I'm only looking at the change in the wording. The change in the wording is not the explanation of the entire pasuk. You could have used machmetzet at any point. So when you use that word machmetzet, I now know that artificially induced chimutz is also chametz. Thank you. Now, why do we need an extra pusik to tell me that? The pusik per se is an additional lav, which I say means that we've got three lav. And now, as far as your other question is concerned, and that is, how would I know that Pesach Mitzrayim is only noheg one day? So first of all, let's assume that it's true, okay? I mean, I don't know, says the Gemara. Let's assume that it's true that Reb Yehuda actually agrees with Reb Yossi Aglili. So then he's going to have to learn it out of the fact that it says about Pesach Mitzrayim, Hayom Atem Yotzim. That's all. So that could be enough of a basis. In other words, since it says Hayom right up against this, not because the puzzle, let's just clarify something. Reb Yehuda does not believe in smuchim, except in Sefer Dvar. That's for sure, that he has said many times. I don't darshan smuchim. So now, if you're asking me how I would know the din, even if I would know the din, for heaven's sakes, look at what Reb Yossi, I mean, you know what Reb Shimon just did? Reb Shimon just justified an entire pasuk of Lo Ye'achel Chametz, because it comes to teach me a din of smuchim. That's ridiculous, because I don't even hold that there's a concept of smuchim to demand an extra pasuk to tell me smuchim in Sefer Shmos. Okay, so forget about that approach. Now, that means that I'm right about the pasuk. The pasuk is not coming to teach me about Pesach Mitzrayim. It's coming to tell me a general din of Lo Ye'achel Chametz. If you feel that this is a halacha that's b'chayev, I mean, I don't know what Reb Yehuda Shita is, but if you believe that Reb Yehuda Shita is that he ultimately agrees with the fact that Pesach Mitzrayim is only one day, that is not the need for the pasuk. That is simply the fact that the context of the pasuk is in Ayom Atem Yotzim. That's not a need for smuchim. And it's certainly possible that he doesn't even hold of it. I mean, he doesn't darshan smuchim. He's by same as smuchim lo darish, and because of that, he doesn't have a problem of agreeing with Reb Yossi, because he simply doesn't agree with the whole idea. So that part isn't clear. But one way or the other, it's not a problem for me. I certainly do not have an alternative use of the pasuk for smuchim. Okay. Now, you said a moment ago, Reb Yehuda, I just want to get clear what you're going to do with the tain of Rabbi Shimon, because what you said before, Amar Mar, you said, how do I know that eating chametz on Erev Pesach is an issur d'oraisa, and you're going to be over on a lav? I know that because it says, lo tochal alav chametz, and Rabbi Shimon responded to you, and he said, that's crazy. V'chiev shalom arkein, halo kfar nema lo tochal alav chametz, shivat yamim tochal alav matzot, Rabbi Yehuda. That's a pretty darn good point. Shabbat Karmelei, Rabbi Shimon, how are you going to respond to that? There is no way to read the pasuk the way that you're reading it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, there most certainly is. Now, let's understand that the word alav is undeniable. Alav is talking about the Korban Pesach, okay? The Shivas Yomim, on the other hand, is clearly not talking about the Pesach. So Rabbi Shimon is going to have to address that problem, okay? So let me explain to you what's going on over here, and then you can turn around and ask Rabbi Shimon what he's going to do with my point, but there's no way that you can avoid my point. I'm saying that the idea over here is an interrelationship of the period of Erev Pesach, where we have a love referring to the Korban Pesach, and what is it talking about over there? Well, there it's talking about the Isser of Achilas Chametz, but what's the second part of Pesach talking about? The Chiyav of Achilas Matzah. And as Rabbi Shimon so aptly pointed out, there is no Chiyav of Achilas Matzah on Erev Pesach. Yes, but as Rabbi Shimon so aptly didn't point out, is that there is no Chiyav of Matzah on 7 days. The Chiyav of eating Matzah is only together with the Korban Pesach. So, excuse me. So therefore, the point of the Pesach is precisely that. And I'm telling you, the meaning of the Shivas Yomim is to explain that ahu lekov o chova afilu bizman azehu diata. That is coming to tell me that during Pesach itself, there is still going to be a chiyav of eating matzah, even bizman azeh, even if there's no Korban Pesach. Now you'll say, so why don't I take the pasuk at its literal meaning of saying that all 7 days there's a chiyav to eat matzah, and we know there is no such chiyav to eat matzah. The chiyav to eat matzah is only either with the Korban Pesach or at the night during the time that you would have eaten the Korban Pesach, right? So therefore, I say, aha, note the very fact that Rabbi Shimon made such a big deal of, namely, that I cannot understand a love to mean on the Korban Pesach. Well, that's the whole point. I do understand it to mean that. And the fact that the Torah puts these two things together leads to a fabulous drasha. The Olav says, look, certainly do not expand this Chiyav of Achilas Matzah into a period that wouldn't be related to Olav. It could only refer to the first night when, at least theoretically, if there's a Beis HaMikdash, you could have had a Korban Pesach. On the other hand, don't think that it refers to a literal Korban Pesach, because otherwise, as Rabbi Shimon pointed out, why would it say Shivas Yomim? You understand? So it works out beautifully. There's an Isser of Chametz, yes, during the Shivas Yomim. There's a Mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, even the Zman Hazeh, that relates to the Olav at the beginning of the Pasuk. Thank you very much, Rabbi Shimon. And if you would like to address how you know that, I'd be very happy to hear, because what you just did was made it impossible for you to define a Chiyav if there's no Korban Pesach. So why do you eat matzah on the night of the Seder, huh? That's a good point, actually. So what would be the din, according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon lekovo chova minale. Ah, Rabbi Shimon says that is a different pasuk, and that is the pasuk that is referring to Bizman Hazeh, Berishon Ba'arba'a Asar Yom Lachodesh Ba'erev Tochlu Matzot. And there it doesn't make any mention of a Korban Pesach, and it must be referring, therefore, to a Chiyav even Bizman Hazeh. And note that Rabbi Shimon's pasuk, by the way, does exactly the same thing that Rabbi Shimon was complaining about to Rabbi Yehuda, because the pasuk continues on to say, Ad Yom Ha'echad V'Srim L'Chodesh Ba'erev, which is certainly not a Chovah, only the first night. So he's learning from that extra word, Ba'erev, Tochlu Matzot, that's a reference uniquely to the first night. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, the Pasuk has the same misleading discussion of a 7-day period of eating matzahs. Okay, so we now understand where Rabbi Shimon gets it from. Now, why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda learn it from there? In which case, he would no longer have an answer to Rabbi Shimon's Taina on Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I need that pasuk Berev Tochlu Matzot. Because let's consider, there are actually three completely different situations which will mitigate the chiyav of Achilas Matzah. Let's take the simplest situation. You would have been bringing your Korban Pesach, except there's no Beis HaMikdash. So that's Bizman Hazeh. Okay, that's situation number one. Now, let's talk about a situation where, even if there is a Beis HaMikdash, you don't bring a Korban Pesach. How would that be? Well, suppose you're an Orel. Suppose you're outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but Derech Rechoka. There's lots of possibilities, right? Maybe you're Tamei. So the point is that there are different situations that need to be addressed. Not to say that my pasuk covers all those variations is not true, because we could start with the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. But, I mean, at least you're an individual who was chayav and achil of the Karban Pesach. You're just unfortunately unable to obtain any Karban Pesach without a Beis HaMikdash, but you are able to obtain matzah. So the first pasuk is coming to tell me, get that matzah and eat it. But now how about if you're tummy and therefore can't eat the Karban Pesach under any circumstances? Maybe you don't have to eat matzah. How about if you're Bederach Rechoka? How about if you're an Arel? That your siblings had hemophilia, and therefore you never got a Brit Milah. So in those circumstances, the Torah needs to tell me, but Erev Tochlu Matzot anyway, right? Okay, that's what I need it for. So the Tamei V'shaya B'derech Rechoka, Saka Daita Kamina, Ho'il Ube Pesach Lo Yochal, Matzu Umaror Nami Lo Nochel, Kamash Malan. Ah, so now we throw the ball back to Rabbi Shimon's court. Okay, so then Rabbi Shimon also needs the pasuk for that purpose. So then why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yehuda's brilliant use of the pasuk to be kov o chova bizman hazeh, and that would give him an option to be able to learn out Tamei V'shaya B'derech Rechoka? Says Rabbi Shimon, what's this Tamei V'shaya Rechoka jazz? I don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Because an Orel and a Ben Nechar do have to eat matzah, even though they can't eat from the Karban Pesach. How do I know that? Because it says, V'chol orel lo yochal bo. What does it say, lo yochal bo? Lo yochal bo means bo. The Karban Pesach proper is the only thing that he cannot eat, but he still has the chiyuv to eat matzah and moror. So then that means, I mean, if I know that about an orel of ben nechar, this means, of course, ben nechar is not a goy, ben nechar is a mumer, mishnisnach, rumaisav, le'aviv shabashamayim. But in any event, why would it be different, that case or the case of mishaya tameva yabederach rechoka? Rabbi Yehuda says, well, this doesn't trouble me. I have a posik for this case, and the posik covers the other case as well. If you want to make a tzrichas, I'll go right ahead. But we're talking about totally different situations, one of which is a logistical problem, the other, which is a status problem. Okay, so we end up, according to Rabbi Shim, Rabbi Yehuda, we end up having three psukim that are marbe, particular situations where you need to be mekayim the mitzvah matzah, even though there is no Korban Pesach, either because it's bizman hazeh, that I know from Shivas Yomim Tochal Alav Matzot, and either because you are a tomei, or you were Derech Rechoka, that I know from Be'erev Tochlu Matzot, or because you are an Orel or a Ben Nechar, and that's because the Pasuk says, Bo, lo yochal bo, bo ino ochel of ochel b'matzah b'morah. Now, my question, of course, is, now that I've explained to you very nicely the three different approaches, says the Gemara, I'm getting back to my first point. This Mishnah doesn't work according to anybody. Mani matnitin. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything about a difference between a Jew's chametz or a Goy's chametz. It just said chametz, which would mean even a Nochri's chametz after Pesach ought to be an Issur D'Oraisa. And the Mishnah says it isn't. So it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it doesn't work out according to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, even a Jew's chametz is mutter. The Yisrael Nami Mishra Shoret. And forget about Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's even worse. Because according to Rabbi Yosef HaGlili, even during Pesach, it's at least mutter ba'na'ah. So afilu b'togz manunami, mishra kashari ba'na'ah. He's certainly not the guy that's going to come along and tell you that it's usher after Pesach. Omer Avacha bar Yaakov, I'll tell you what I think. We're going to see that we have a lot of possibilities here, but I think that it's going to leave Rabbi Yehuda. So, but you'll say, but I don't understand. Where would he get the information that there is a difference between a Jew's chametz and a goy's chametz in terms of the Isra Achila of chametz of Alav Pesach? It was just another pasuk that said lo yeachil chametz or koma chametz lo tuchah. How the heck do you understand in that pasuk? Where do you get a read in that there's a difference between Jewish chametz and non-Jewish chametz? I'll tell you, it's actually based on learning out the din from Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Look, I mean, it says on the one hand, it says that you're not allowed to eat chametz v'so'or b'pesach, right? Okay, now, just like it uses the lashon by achila, it says not to eat this chametz and so'or, it uses the same thing. It talks about chametz v'so'or, lo yera elecha chametz, lo yera elecha so'or. Okay, fine, great. So just like over there, it stresses lecha. It's got to be yours, not that belongs to a goy. I apply that din of lo yera elecha se'or. I apply that din to the achila as well. And therefore, even though it didn't say it beferesh, it's what Rabbi Yehuda meant, and that it's shalchoy taroya v'la taroe shel acherim v'shal gavoa. The same thing would be true about se'or de achila. And according to this, there is no iser on the chometz of a goy. And the truth is, there's no iser on eating either. So even though the Mishnah only talked hana'ah, it's not about hana'ah. It's bichlal, there's no din of iser achila. And the Mishnah should have said that it's even mutter to eat the chometz of the goy after Pesach. But, I mean, since we introduced the din with the fact, we wanted to tell you the halacha, that a chometz of a Yisrael is aser bana'a, so we said the chometz of a guy is mutter bana'a. But we didn't mean that it's mutter bana'a. We meant that it's mutter b'achila, and I got news for you. I mean, if you're going to darshan so'or d'achila, then that would mean that you should be allowed to eat a guy's chometz during Pesach. In which case, why are we only talking about after Pesach? We should be talking about during Pesach. So the truth is that bedinu diboyle lo misle afil betol zman o mutter. We should have said, why did we limit it to chomet she'arva lav pesach? But since we were talking about the din of Yisrael la'achar zmano, tana nami denochri la'achar zmano, so we wanted also to talk about this case, even though l'maisa, we could have gone all the way, we could have talked about a heter achila. We limited to discussing a heter hanah. We could have been talking about eating it during yantiv. We talk about it after, because the main issue would be the question of how it relates to the dinim of the chometz. Okay, now Lemaisa, Tosfos says there is no such possible case, because the moment that you would be eating that chometz, it would be your chometz. So how could it be the chometz of a goy? Once it's in your mouth and you're swallowing it, I mean, either you stole it or he gave it to you. I don't care what the situation is, but it is yours. So how in the world does Rashi say you can actually get away with eating the chometz? We can't actually find a case where you could eat the chometz. Fine, okay, but that's a logistical problem. But if it's theoretically, when it comes to the issue of Hanah, when it comes to the issue of Hanah, over there, fine. So it's possible to be nene from the chometz. That's not a problem. Goy is burning the chometz, you're being nene from the heat.